Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, May 31st, episode 57. In today's podcast, we get into three topics. Number one, I told you a couple podcasts ago who was going to be my number one pick. I literally did it and switched it on air because I had a feeling. Well, Coach is right. I'll talk about why Zachary Richechet will be the number one pick, especially now that ESPN has changed their mock draft. It's about fit. Speaking of fit, we head to Atlanta, where I kind of look at some big decisions they have to make. DeAndre Hunter versus Jalen Johnson. And also, Trae Young versus DeJounte Murray. A lot of trades could happen with Atlanta, but the Richechet moves kind of ties it all in together. Next, we go to the NBA Finals. Now that Dallas has eliminated Minnesota in five games, early takes I have on the NBA Finals, which won't tip off until Thursday. Lastly, we head to the W. Here we go. Round three. Angel Reese won the first one. Caitlin Clark won the last one. And now they play again tomorrow. First matchup between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese in the W as the Indiana Fever head to play the Chicago Sky high noon on ESPN. Let's get started on the draft, folks, because this kind of broke in the last couple of hours as ESPN released their mock draft. Now, folks, I want you to understand something as Matt pulls this up. When I talked about this a couple of episodes ago, I had SAR 1 and Richechet 2. But then if you remember if I talked about it, I said, no, this is about fit. And Richechet, because of his upside, should be the number one pick. Well, folks, it has happened. ESPN has put Richechet as the number one pick over SAR. And yesterday, FanDuel had Richechet at plus 300. Right now, he's already down to plus 185. Why do you take Richechet over SAR? Simply put, upside. This kid, Richechet's performance in the EuroLeague, I think quarterfinals a couple weeks ago, raised some eyebrows. He hadn't been shooting the ball well, but this guy is a shot maker, and he is a shot taker. And with his length, he would be the perfect complement for the Atlanta Hawks. Listen, I understand that Alex SAR was presumably the number one pick. And he still is considered to be right now on FanDuel as the favorite, although he's losing steam. But when you really think about it is, when you look at a team like Atlanta, where he has Capella and Okongwu, maybe one of them gets moved, then we'll get into obviously the debate with other players. Would you rather have a guy that's comparison is Jaren Jackson Jr.? Or would you rather go with a guy that is a shot maker and a shot creator and would fit nicely with this young Hawks roster? And that brings up Atlanta, folks, because they have a lot of intriguing decisions to make. Should you stay or should you go? And let's start off at the guard spot. A couple of years ago, they paired up DeJounte Murray and Trae Young and thought that this was going to be a dynamic backcourt. Well, folks, it hasn't worked. Well, it hasn't worked to the way Atlanta wanted it to. And at some point, someone's going to get moved. Folks, if you look at these stats, you're going to say it's very simple. Look at the stats. It should be DeJounte Murray moved. But I'm telling you, DeJounte's stats, when Trae was out towards the end of the year, showed me something. Although, remember, folks, Trae has gotten a couple of coaches fired. You look at Trae in both Nate McMillan and Lloyd Pierce. You're going to look at Trae as being the bad guy, right? You know, he had to run, obviously, when Nate got suspended for a game. So to me, also, who do you get more back on the open market? It's probably Trae Young. So Trae Young is going to be the one that's going to be traded to me after Atlanta because you're going to get back more in return. So how about this? Does Trae Young go to a team like San Antonio, who has a number 4 and number 8 pick? Now you can do a full rebuild here if you're the Atlanta Hawks. But to me, when you look at DeJounte versus Trae, Trae is going to be the one moved. Next, you go to the small forward, power forward position, and Jalen Johnson versus DeAndre Hunter. Folks, if you've listened to me on this network, you know that I'm a big fan of DeAndre Hunter. And these stats on Hunter, unfortunately, are incorrect. Those are not his stats for the year, but it's all good. But to me, as a 3-and-D guy for DeAndre Hunter, This is the guy that makes way more money. Evan Sidery, a fan of, and a friend, I should say, of the Sports Grid Network, said that it looks like they are going to move DeAndre Hunter. Now, I thought Jalen Johnson had a phenomenal season, took the next step, rebounds the ball really well, could shoot it really well, 36% from three, maybe it needs to be a little bit higher. But that's why I think they take Richier. That's why I think they take him and play those two maybe as a 3-4 or as a 2-3 and see what happens. But to me, this all lines up. Richier goes first to Atlanta. Trae Young gets moved for more assets. And the same thing happens with DeAndre Hunter. And now you have a young core of DeJounte Murray, of Richier, and of Jalen Johnson. And possibly more picks, especially if Trae Young gets traded over to the San Antonio Spurs for picks 4 and 8. Intriguing times with this Atlanta Hawks team. I've always said it, folks, either you're winning or you're rebuilding. The last thing you want to be is a team that just mills itself in the play-in tournament. Atlanta caught a break having a 3% chance of winning the NBA lottery. Now they got to do the full rebuild for the long haul. Let's move on to the NBA Finals, which tips off Thursday now that the Dallas Mavericks have eliminated the Minnesota Timberwolves in 5 games, winning 124-103 last night in Minnesota. Early lines have the Celtics as a 6.5-point favorite, over under 213.5. We're going to have a lot of time, folks, to dissect this. We'll have some stuff we'll talk about on Monday, and then I think we'll try and come back Wednesday and record again to get you previewed for Thursday night. So long as my producer, Matt George, and I can figure out the schedule. I hope we will. But my early thing is this. This is a superstar league. And this is going to come down to superstars. Simply put, why did Dallas beat Minnesota? Because Luka and Kyrie were better than Ant and Kat. Very simple. No other ways around it, folks. They were better. Hands down. Can they do it again? Can Luka and Kyrie, who last night combined for 44 points in the first half, Luka goes off for 20 points in the first quarter, 4-6 from three. Kyrie goes for 15 in the second. They outscored Minnesota by themselves 44-40. And when you have this situation where Luka and Kyrie can play off each other as Batman and Robin, it presents problems for defenses because these are two guards who can bring the ball to the court. One can start the offense, the other one can go to the second side of the floor. Makes it incredibly, incredibly difficult to guard them. But now they go against Boston, the best defensive team in the league in rating-wise. A Boston team that had Drew Holiday. I don't care if he's on the second team. Drew Holiday's the best defender in the NBA. And Derek White, both make second team, all defensive team NBA. Can they slow down Luka and Kyrie? If you are Dallas, even though they're not going to guard each other, because I fully expect PJ Washington to guard Tatum, Derek Jones Jr. to guard Jaylen Brown. I'm going to say this, folks. If Dallas is going to win, their A guys, Luka and Kyrie, must be better than Tatum and Brown. Because when you go to the B-level guys, White, Holiday, Porzingis, right? For the Celtics, those B-level guys take a little bit of pressure off of Jason Tatum, right? Al Horford off the bench hitting threes, right? Jaylen Brown, who played better than Jason Tatum in the 2022 NBA Finals. Derek White, what a trade he's been for the San Antonio Spurs. Simply put, folks, the B-level guys of Holiday, of White, and of Porzingis, who should come back for the series, is better than the B-level scoring guys of Jones, Gafford, and P.J. Washington. Although P.J. can give you a big game every once in a while. But then you go to the bench of Horford, of Pritchard, and Hauser. Kind of close, especially with the way that Lively's been playing. Lively, Hardaway Jr., Exum, Kleber. But to me, because the B is so much bigger with Boston, the A has got to be much better for Dallas. So if Dallas is going to win, Luka and Kyrie got to be Luka and Kyrie. Boston's going to throw a stinker at you. That's going to be one game. Luka and Kyrie should win you a second. The question is, can they get you two or? Intriguing NBA Finals, folks. Anybody thinks this is like a sweep or a five-game series is nuts. This is six or seven games. I know people heard me on an early line earlier today give my prediction. Yes, it is my prediction, but I'm not going to talk about it now. I'm going to wait till next week so I can expand upon it and give you guys my reasoning why. Let's end today's podcast going to the W as round three, ding, 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 Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. High noon. Come on, folks. I mean, you don't think the WNBA is getting this right? They're putting this girl on TV every game, and they picked Saturday high noon ESPN. Think about this. What is going on then? MLB won't start till 1 o'clock. Hockey playoffs won't be played. If Game 6 would have been of the Western Conference semifinals, it would have been at night, right? Maybe you'd have a little bit of the French Open. But Caitlin Clark is a box office getter. So they put her every time they can get her alone where people are going to watch are going to do it. But here comes Angel Reese. Oh, boy. You can't see me. I can see both of you. Round one. NCAA tournament 2023. LSU knocks off Iowa in the national championship game. Game number two, Eastern Regional Finals. You don't think the NCAA set this up on purpose? Caitlin Clark, LSU, Angel Reese, in Albany. One of the most watched games in history of women's basketball. Actually, at the time, the most watched. Beat other sports, professional sports. So now here comes round three. And folks, I want to bring this up because right now, really, the Indiana Fever are struggling. Folks, I want you to understand something. I do not pin this on Caitlin Clark. Her teammates have to be better. Smith has to be better and more consistent. Mitchell has to be better and more consistent. And dang it, Aaliyah Boston's got to play like a number one draft pick like she was last year coming out of South Carolina. One game she's played really well. It's also the game that they won. So this team, Indiana Fever, is 1-8. I told people weeks ago they were not going to make the WNBA playoffs. Remember, top eight teams get in. Now, honestly, right now, they've played nine games. Chicago is in eighth right now, 3-3. So this is a big game. Neither player is lighting the moon on fire because, folks, it is an adjustment period for these young ladies. And if you don't think so, look at their stats, guys. Caitlin Clark's shooting 32% from the three, 38% from the floor, although she's getting 17.6 points per game. Angel Reese is almost at double-double we expect. But someone who doesn't shoot the ball really outside of 10 feet is only shooting 38% from the floor. She should be near 50. It takes adjustments for these ladies to perform. And people, I remember talking on Newswire today earlier with Craig Mish, and he asked, why, like, Caitlin Clark hasn't elevated this team? Like, when Shaq went to the Magic and they won 20 more games, why the Rockets were better with Yao Ming? You know, why Tim Duncan went to the Spurs and they won a championship? First things first, let's make sure we understand. Tim Duncan, they tanked that season the year before they got Timmy. So let's just put it what it is. And that was back in the day where you had the number one pick. Like, the lottery balls were stacked in your favor to go number one. Shaq did a great job. But they were the eighth seed, and they were tied for eighth, and they got knocked out on the tiebreaker. It is hard to do it in the W, folks. As we pull up the standings, there's only 12 teams. It's only 12 teams. So to get yourself up there and become a great team, you got to remember, folks, Connecticut, New York, and the Aces are unbelievable. They're head and shoulders ahead of everybody else. Minnesota Lynx with Nafisa Kali. I talked about it. Folks, Matt, did I tell him? Did I talk about Nafisa Kali? Did I talk about Nafisa Kali? Oh, he said, yes, I did. Look what they're doing in Minnesota. Seattle, what a Wumbake, right? With Skylar Diggins-Smith, with Magaber, with Jewel Lloyd. They have talent. Like, Dallas Wings don't even have Septu Sabali back. They're 3-2. Phoenix doesn't have Brittany Griner back. They're 3-4. And Kalia Copper's been hooping. Like, it's hard to jump up like this. It's really hard. You have to be surrounded with better talent. But really quick on Chicago Sky. Shout out to Teaspoon. Oh, y'all know her? It's Teresa Weatherspoon. One of the greatest women's basketball players ever. Louisiana Tech. Olympic team, New York Liberty, came and became the head coach of the Chicago Sky when James Wade left to go to Toronto as an assistant coach. Raptors, that is. Teaspoon could coach. And she's doing a hell of a job with the young Chicago Sky team, which lost their best player, Kalia Copper. Speaking of Chicago Sky, shout out to the pride of the Jersey Shore. Shout out to Manasquan's own Marina Mabry. Killing it right now. With Chicago Sky. I fully expect Chicago to win the game and cover the spread. This has been episode 57 of the the Sports Grid Betting Above the Rim podcast. I'm so excited to talk about the W. I almost kept going. For all things sports gambling, go download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will be Monday recorded, released on Tuesday. I know I got to get to my top five, but I'm debating because I have a top five, but dang, Arkansas got themselves a squad. I may have to change up my top five. That's okay, Maddie. I'll give it to you. Speaking of Maddie, shout out to Maddie George, my producer, always crushing it every episode. Vinny with the graphics. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I'll be back Monday. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.